So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
What did I tell you for 2 years about Week 17 fantasy football? This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is presented by Hooters with additional support from Bill Curry Ford, Brandon Legal Group, and Pin Chasers. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Week 17 lacked so much integrity for fantasy purposes. It seemed like, first of all, I heard these complaints that it wasn't as fun for a fantasy championship to be determined in a week where you needed to prep for two games on Wednesday, one game on Thursday, three games on Saturday, limited action Saturday afternoon, two games, Sunday afternoon, limited games late Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Monday night, that it was an all-week thing around the Christmas week. But back in 2022, I had a situation on my hands, and perhaps you did too. We're in week 17. We had three things significantly impact fantasy championship week. The worst one that could have been an unfortunate moment we all regret was the cancellation of the Bills-Bengals game due to the health of DeMar Hamlin. It obviously, over time, came out good for DeMar Hamlin, who had a good year, who's having a good year with Buffalo. But because the game was canceled, and because that's the last game of most people's fantasy season, already getting off week 18, which has lacked so much integrity for so long for a majority of games, there was no other card to turn. I'll get back to that. Derrick Henry set out a week 17 game for the Titans only because the game meant nothing for the Titans. They needed to win the next week, I believe, against the Jacksonville Jaguars to win the division. So Henry didn't play. One of the top few running backs that year in fantasy football just didn't play, rested. And Jalen Hurts was hurt. Funny. He's hurt again, but he played the next week because the Eagles were just trying to win the division and get by without him. Whatever it was, they didn't, played him week 18, played well, played fine, but it's like, yeah, we don't have to play him. So based on those three things, I made the decision off that I'm ending all my fantasy leagues now in week 16. I don't want these sit-outs or something unfortunate where I don't have anything else I can do to impact who wins my fantasy football leagues. I don't remember last year being a "see, I told you so," but this year, on an almost daily basis, some multiple times a day, even before we got to Sunday, oh, this guy's out. Oh, this guy's out. Oh, this guy's out. We talked about it on the previous week's fantasy football podcast. Let me just check something here from a technical standpoint because I'm trying to do two things at once today. Yeah, we're doing great. I mean, the Tua news kind of came out of nowhere for some people. Now, is Tua QB1? No. But he's someone that I know so many people that play fantasy football and they play in different leagues. And one in particular has him in a dynasty league. So he reached out to me before, actually, I think on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We played golf together on Christmas Eve, so it wasn't a stretch. And he said, well, I'm in my championship, Tua or Geno. And I actually said to him, how about Aiden O'Connell? Because he sent me his waiver list. And he's like, all right, we'll roll with Tua, which was the right decision based on how bad Geno was, despite all these $2 million Geno incentives in his contract. If he betters his career best in all these categories that's still out there going into week 18, if Seattle ownership allows him to play. But then Tua, we get news on Friday. Was it Friday or Saturday? Suddenly a hip issue, even though the Dolphins was something to play for, and Tua isn't going to play. We dealt with James Conner. Too many things forcing you to make decisions you don't want to make in championship week. So perhaps, as I've convinced some of you over the years of doing this podcast, as we come to the end of our ninth year, and I'm going to do one more podcast after this, maybe one more after that. I've convinced some of you that the mandatory tight end is not law. All you have to do is when the commissioner sets up the scoring settings is instead of click the box for mandatory tight end starter, you click the box for a flex position. I choose to flex W/T. Change TE to wide W/T. It allows you to play a tight end, but if you don't choose to do so because there are so few, and this year there were so few, there were weeks where tight ends were productive. How many of you stepped out there and went Laporta big and didn't get much from him for 2 months? How many of you stepped out there on Trey McBride, ignoring that I said he doesn't score? How many of you listened to my podcast about the return of Kelsey and it was Rashee Rice running his routes, unbeknownst to me, for the first, 2 months? And then Kelsey got hot and then dropped off. He'll probably play well in the playoffs like he did last year. But the point is, there's no law that says you have to end your fantasy football league in any particular week. You don't have to end in week 18. And as I showed two years ago, I'm done with week 17. And this year, you probably wish you had finished in week 16. So do it next year. Back it up a week. The calendar is going to change with Christmas. I think Christmas is a Thursday. So that probably means that Amazon won't get their normal Thursday spot. They'll get something else. We'll get there. But there's no law that says you have to play fantasy football a certain way. You don't have to play week 17. There's not this universal, well, we have to start a tight end. That's the law. We have to play week 17 is championship week. That's the law. It's not. You can make your own settings. You can make your own rules based on what you think is right. So remember that for next year. Finish your championship. Determine your winner in week 16. The late bye week does suck. It does. Six teams on bye this year in week 14. Six teams were on bye last year in week 13. Two teams were on bye in week 14. Again, the Christmas thing and Thanksgiving jumble, and the calendar changes. I don't think the NFL is going to do anything about that. Because if you are a potential deep team in the playoffs, you love the late bye. You love it. Because you potentially, if you're a one seed, you get a week off in what? late November, early December, and then you get a week off in early January before you're trying to win three games, because that's all it takes if you have a first-round bye in the NFL playoffs. Win three games in a row to win a Super Bowl if you're the number one seed. Congratulations to the Bubblicious Bunch. They win the Candyland Coalition. Very strong team all year, run by an astute fantasy player and loyal supporter of mine across the board. Morgan, well done. Very well done. Morgan had the best team 2 years ago in a league I commissioned, and he had two or at least three players going in the Monday night game that was canceled due to DeMar Hamlin's health. And as a result of that, we had issues with determining the champion. Compromises were offered. Morgan was terrific to work with on those compromises. Someone else, not so much. So I have referred to Morgan as the winner of that league for 2 years. And I have treated him as such even at my golf tournaments. Well, 2 years later, Morgan wins a separate championship. No question marks. No issues. And I'm very happy for him. And I will refer to him as a two-time champion of my leagues going forward. So congrats to Morgan. Let's review Morgan's draft. And then I'm just going to talk about the Candyland Coalition draft overall, because this is fun. In a draft order determined randomly by choosing movie theater candy, the Bubblicious Bunch ended up with the fourth pick in a snake draft of 12 teams and chose CeeDee Lamb fourth. I'm going to do the whole first few rounds in a bit, but CeeDee Lamb fourth was productive pretty much all year. The touchdowns and the yardage dropped off a bit from Dak to Cooper Rush. But a worthy first pick. You could argue, well, there's players he passed on. We'll do that later. Second round, not so good. ETN. Wow. So I'm going to remember this, Morgan. And just sort of a cautionary tale. As I proved last year when I won in the foundation, and I went Burrow in the third round, and that didn't work out. But I hit on my other early picks. I really hit on four of the six as star picks. One helped me win the championship in the championship week. Burrow did not. I would take Burrow's year this year. Didn't get that last year due to multiple injuries. But ETN, second round pick, didn't work out. Third round, Lamar Jackson, which I believe was the third quarterback off the board, because I had already taken Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts was already selected. So that is where Bubblicious Bunch takes Jackson third round. Very good. Fourth round, David Montgomery. Boom. Granted, injury late for the fantasy playoffs, overcame that strong production in a big-time Lions offense. Terrific value there. Round five, Chris Olave. No. Granted, he went in like the third round of my foundation draft, which we'll do in a separate podcast, but Olave got hurt early. As pretty much everybody did on the Saints somewhere along the way. Sixth round, Terry McLaurin, big time year, working with Jaden Daniels. Seventh round, Brian Robinson Jr., back-to-back Commanders there. Both productive picks. Very good value. Eighth round, Xavier Worthy. A guy you could use. A guy who hasn't been awful, but hasn't been first round worthy. Great for the Chiefs. Ninth round, Zay Flowers. Ton of targets from a productive Lamar Jackson. Nice little stack Morgan did there. Tenth round, Ty Chandler. Aaron Jones stayed healthy, so that didn't work out. Jordan Addison, though. Woo! Round 11. Jordan Addison, yeah. That was some good mid to late season production for sure. Took a kicker in the 12th round, and what was his dart throw in the last round? Kirk Cousins, which was a great fantasy play in two games against the Buccaneers. I'll tell you what else helped the Bubbalicious bunch. Was in the 8th round, and I guess he might have targeted him there. In the 8th round, with the 6th pick, I took Chase Brown, Bengals running back. And I think I even remember at the time, Morgan just sort of looking at me and saying, love the pick. I'm sure Bengal Ralph did too, but that's, as my friend Joey would say, in water is wet. Well, after Zach Moss took the bulk of the carries for the first month, I overreacted, wasn't patient, and cut Chase Brown. Oops. Morgan picked him up, and Morgan rode him, I think, as a starting running back for almost the rest of the way, because Brown's workload, once Moss got hurt, he barely came off the field. And actually, Brown started getting more work before Moss was done for the season. The Bengals were just, you kind of look back now and say, if the Bengals had just played Chase Brown as their top running back starting in week one, they probably would already be in the playoffs and not need help the last week of the season. Of note, Yahoo with their draft rankings, just to show you, don't go overboard on the draft rankings. Now, Yahoo did rank in this league I'm talking about. The top two drafts ended up playing in the championship, the 2 seed and the 6 seed. So I guess there they got right. They called my draft 10th out of 12. I made the playoffs. I had Josh Allen, Justin Jefferson, who Yahoo questioned, how much is the dip in production with a change in quarterback? I did a whole separate Todd Wright podcast about how Sam Darnold would be this year's Baker Mayfield. Got that one right. And I took James Cook in the 4th round, who even Cynthia Freeland on NFL Fantasy Live on NFL Network said was the sort of number one, like, big fantasy pleasant surprise that Cook put up RB1 numbers and was a top 10 running back, and I got him in the 4th round. Yahoo said my worst pick in the entire draft was Chase Brown with the 6th pick in round 8. So don't think Yahoo's draft rankings are gospel. Did they get right that the top two were going to be worthy of playing for a championship? Yeah. But they hammered my draft and said my worst choice was an 8th round pick in Chase Brown, who ended up as a solid, worthy starting running back for the championship team in this league, albeit on another team after I cut him. All right, quick recap of, let's do maybe the first 4 rounds of the 12-team standard scoring, no mandatory tight end, No flexing of running backs. Candyland Coalition. McCaffrey went first, and yet, Greg, good job. Greg lost the title game. Greg overcame not having... McCaffrey played, what, four games? None the first 2 months? None of us knew. Greg overcame that and still was playing for a fantasy championship against Morgan the last week of our season in week 16. Bijan Robinson went two. That looks a lot better with Michael Penix under center, doesn't it? Tyreek Hill three to Ira. Our champion, Morgan with Bubblicious Bunch, went CeeDee Lamb four. I told you Breece Hall was overrated. He went five in our draft to Tony from Hooters. I went the entire year without playing a Jet in any fantasy league. Never played a Jet. Made the playoffs in all my leagues. Even made a championship in a league that I added mid-season with a two-week championship. The Jets are toxic. It was in a fantasy podcast. I called Breece Hall the most overrated player leading up to fantasy football drafts. And I stand by that. You did not get first round value out of Breece Hall. Saquon Barkley went sixth in our league and went to Bengal Ralph. No, Bengal Ralph didn't take Ja'Marr Chase there. He took Barkley. He was right. Ralph had a great team, just lost in the playoffs because Barkley had that down week. I took Justin Jefferson seven. I stand by it. Should I have taken Chase, who went eight? Yeah. But was Jefferson the wrong pick? Was I right that Jefferson's production wouldn't fall so far and that he was still very worthy of being an early to mid first round pick? Damn right. Ja'Marr Chase went eighth, the clear wide receiver one of the year. Amon-Ra nine, A.J. Brown 10, Jonathan Taylor 11, Derrick Henry, last pick of the 12th round. Very good value for Mark in our league, who was one of, and I was this way in the foundation. Why was it this year, and if you were in one of these leagues where this happened, someone was dominating the league the first like 7 to 8 weeks and then just couldn't win? Mark did it in our league. He was 6-1 through 7 weeks. Never won again, missed the playoffs. I lost my last four in the foundation. Three in successive weeks by a total of 5.01 points. Still made the playoffs, but losing the first round bye killed me. Round two, Kyren Williams, Isaiah Pacheco, Garrett Wilson, drafted by the team that finished last. Hang on. Okay. Jahmyr Gibbs, fourth pick of the second round. Good job, Drew Garabo. Puka Nacua. Oh. If Nacua stays healthy, but that's his problem. Sean Sullivan, defending champion of this league from Bill Curry Ford, started so slow, came on late, beat me in the first round of the playoffs despite me putting up a huge number. Drafted Chase 1 and Nacua 2. Good selections. I took Josh Allen right after that. Joe Burrow went right after that to Bengal Ralph. Josh Jacobs, what a hammer he was late in the fantasy season and in the fantasy playoffs. Then there's the ETN pick. Mike Evans, Marvin Harrison Jr. Disappointment. The earlier you drafted him, the bigger the disappointment. He wasn't awful, but he wasn't good. Rashad White. And that's, man, so not only did Greg overcome taking McCaffrey one and still make the fantasy championship, He overcame taking Rashad White in the second round and made the fantasy championship. That's good work, Greg. He did take Jalen Hurts to start the third round, Greg did, followed by Laporta, Mixon, terrific third round pick by Ira Kaufman. There's Lamar Jackson, Devontae Adams across two different teams. Kenneth Walker, probably not the best back in Seattle. Now, I took James Cook in the third round. He gave me RB1 return. Devon Achan, even better. Patrick Mahomes, third round, not so much for Drew. Then Kelsey, not so much. C.J. Stroud, a lot of leagues went C.J. Stroud anywhere from the third to fifth quarterback taken. Was not the right move. Deebo Samuel, end of the third round. Not a good move. Then Nico Collins, yeah. I get that. He just needs to stay healthy. Then Diggs, Aaron Jones, DJ Moore, Jalen Waddle. I took Cooper Kupp, sixth pick of the fourth round. T. Higgins, who will be remembered by some fantasy champions as a huge thank you for that big Week 17 Saturday game against Denver. Then Brandon Ayuk, David Montgomery, again, congratulations. Morgan, Najee Harris, Jordan Love, down year, Drake London. Let's do round five, and that's enough. DK Metcalf, James Conner. It was Mike Clay, by the way. Great follow on Twitter, part of the Fantasy Football Now show. Mike Clay said about midseason, the one running back you want to own the rest of the year was James Conner. There might have been better ones, but Mike was right that, you know, James Conner was someone you might have been able to go out and acquire via trade, or if you had him, you were going to be starting him. I tried to trade for him after Mike Clay offered that with someone in this league and got no response. And it was someone who was desperate to make the playoffs, which is always a target of mine to try and make a trade because they're fed up with their team. They want to mix it up. So I didn't trade for Conner. I did trade for Pacheco being injured, and that didn't work out, even though he came back. Then Goff, Olave, Pittman, Devontae Smith. I took Mostert in two of my leagues this year. Major touchdown regression. Something was just not right all year with Mostert. Big problem was the presence of Devon Achane. Malik Nabers, who wasn't as good as Brian Thomas. You can't argue Brian Thomas's quarterback play was significantly better in Jacksonville. Alvin Kamara, ninth pick, sixth round. Good job, Drew Garabo. Garabo made some good picks. That's why he made the playoffs. Devin Singletary, no. Javonte Williams, no. Rashee Rice was really good. That was part of why, if you were a Rashee Rice owner, ours happened to be on the team that started 6-1 and lost their last six because they lost Rashee Rice. All right, that's enough for this podcast. Again, congratulations to Morgan and his Bubblicious bunch for winning the coalition, winning some money from Bill Curry Ford that he deserved 2 years ago. And thanks to everyone who played. It was a good group. Good group. Another theme from this podcast, there are no laws in fantasy football. As I proved a decade ago, removing the mandatory tight end, making it a W/T, and you can go a step further and make it an RB/wide receiver/tight end as a flex. It's the way to go. You know what else is the way to go? End your fantasy play in week 16 going forward. At some point, we're going to have 18 games and two byes, and then we'll evaluate then what we're doing. But for next year, remember how fantasy football was impacted by all the sit-outs in week 17 and realize you can do something about it. You can just end your year and have your championship in week 16, and you don't deal with any of that. You might have a player here or two nothing as significant as what we saw this year. Emails, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. I'll do one more podcast because I want to recap what happened in my foundation league, talk a little bit about my midseason league where I had a two-week championship. The two-week championship was interesting. Talk about that on one more podcast. Who knows? We may do one more after that. I can do as many as I want. You don't have to listen, but if you do, I really appreciate it. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll do at least one more, so I hope you'll be back. And we'll tell you about our first-time foundation champion in our next podcast, recap another draft, talk some other logistics, maybe about players and how early they go in 2025.